All right, let's stand together tonight. Turn to Daniel chapter number 12. Daniel chapter number 12. We've been going through the book of Daniel, talking about living right when all is wrong. We spent a few months in the book of Daniel, and we're wrapping it up here. But I want us to see our final thoughts about the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, we'll start in verse number 1. For the staff members, that's in the Old Testament, okay? Towards the end. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And many shall be purified and made whole and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Let's pray. Father, do we do thank you again for you loving us, for our opportunity to be here tonight, for those that are here faithfully being in your house. And I pray, Lord, as we look here and we wrap up the book of Daniel, that you would help us to remember these things that will encourage us to live right in the days in which we live. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to the end of our series on living right when all is wrong, we read here as a jumping point in Daniel chapter 12, which of course is the conclusion of the book of Daniel. It's a direct continuation of the context of the prophecies in Daniel chapter 11. The prophecies there in Daniel chapter 11 were given to him in direct response, really, to his prayer that we looked at last week in Daniel chapter number 10. Chapter 11 deals with the prophecy that was future for Daniel at that time, and now as we look back, most of that is history for us. It then switches to the future prophecy about the end times. Chapter 12, and we won't look at it tonight, this is just a jumping board. It deals with some of the glorious future events that will come. The kingdom of God, the resurrection, the eternal rewards, and so forth. But we must understand, as Daniel did, that although things are not well right now in earthly kingdoms, that all is well in the heavenly kingdom. Never get so down because of the way things are going now that we don't realize that one day in the heavenly kingdom, everything is going to be all right. Everything's, God knows what's going on. He's keeping score. Our work will be rewarded. Every little thing we do, God will reward if we did it with proper motives and out of love for Him. We do have a better eternal life. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our life on this earth, we seem to forget that everything we're doing for here should in some way be related to what's going to happen one day up there. What I want us to understand is what we do down here matters up there. In the end, Daniel realized and he was shown that in the end, we win. We win. It looks now like Satan has got everything and his power and everything is going his way and he's got control of this world and all the nonsense that's going on in the world and now it's in our country and things are getting goofier and goofier and goofier and goofier each and every day. Let me just tell you something. He does not win. He's losing. Daniel is a popular book because of its prophecies. Daniel is really, in a sense, the Old Testament companion to the book of Revelation, which talks about end time things. But Daniel's book has two parts to it, two very distinct parts. One distinct part is what we've looked at, how Daniel lived on this earth in that godless kingdom of Babylon. And then the other half has to deal with prophecy of the end times and what was coming up in the future from him. Understand that as Christians, the fact that we know God's future plan, we need to understand that God's present will goes along with that. You know, sometimes everybody, these prophecy buffs, and they do all that, and it makes no effect on the way they live now. It ought to make an effect on the way we live now. The more we understand the future, the better we ought to be in the present. So we must understand that we cannot separate our earthly life with our heavenly reward. As Daniel has been in heaven now for a few thousand years, I'm sure he's glad that he lived the life that he lived. I guarantee you, the day he died, he didn't regret anything that he did. His life was always tied to the eternal. His life was always tied to the Lord, and so should ours. Like Daniel, we live in an alien culture, not UFOs, okay? I don't believe it's UFOs, you know. There's aliens taking, no, they're not. Okay, snap out of that. When I say alien culture, I mean alien to the principles of God. We live in this alien culture with people whose thinking, actions, values, and goals are totally different from God's and totally should be totally different from ours. Now, why are we better? No, because they don't know the Lord. By the way, many of us in here, this morning in our, I think our Sunday school class, we asked how many got saved, grew up in a church when they were from the time they were little. In our class, actually, I was surprised it was so many. It was about a third of the crowd. So that'd be two-thirds. So if it's two-thirds of us here, that's probably how at one time in our life, that's how we lived. Our values were different. Our thought process was different. Our future was different because everything was tied into what was going on in this present world. And yet, in spite of all that was going on in Daniel's day, he kept himself pure, and he helped to transform some of the situations and people that were around him, and I think we should too. As we finish the book of Daniel, what I want to do briefly, hopefully finish tonight, I want us to review the man whose entire life was dictated by heavenly principles in a rotten, ungodly culture. Daniel, one of the greatest men to be named in the Bible. Daniel lived by his heavenly citizenship, not by this worldly culture in which he lived. And so as we finish, I want to give you some, I'm calling them Daniel's top 10 power principles for living right when all is wrong. There's power in living right. There's power in doing the things that you're supposed to do. You say, it didn't really turn out in that situation for me. It just seemed like that. Doesn't matter. Living, as I said earlier, living right is its own reward. Things may not go the way you expect them to go down here, but if we're living right, it'll go well in the whole scheme of things. Realize God never fell off the throne. He knows exactly what's going on. So as we review real quick, I want you to keep your Bibles open. Let me give you a few of these power principles that Daniel lived by. The first one is of the utmost importance because I think the first one really funnels and fuels all the rest of them. Number one, Daniel lived by the power of purpose. Flip your Bibles back to Daniel chapter 1. I want you to just, we'll look at a few verses on each one tonight. So if you leave your Bible open to the book of Daniel, it shall be well, okay? Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, one of the probably the most well-known verses on Daniel, well-known verses of his life, really. If Daniel had a life verse, it would have been one he wrote himself. It would have been this one right here. And this was the key to everything. Daniel chapter 1, 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. The whole key to Daniel's life and influence is right there. He purposed in his heart. Purpose in the heart is something you do ahead of time. As you think about Daniel, as he, when we saw that when he arrived in Babylon, they were immediately faced with the opportunity to compromise and do some things that he knew God would not want him to do, that God would not want him to be involved with. Fact of the matter is that the law forbid them from doing. He was going to be faced smack dab with it. By the way, it's nice to come to church, and it's nice to sing the songs, and it's nice to shake hands and give a pat on the back and whatever. You ladies hug each other or whatever you do and all that. And Kurt, thanks for being here. This is great and glorious. And then what happens is we go home. Not to your house, hopefully. You go home, and tomorrow you go to work. And guess what? They're not singing the songs of God at your work. There's no slap on the back. Hey, how was your weekend? How was church? They're going to talk about the football games, and there's nothing wrong with the football games. They're going to talk about maybe some nonsense they were involved with over the weekend that you would never be involved with. And you're going to be faced smack dab with that ungodly culture, that people that just don't know better because that's just how they live their life because they don't know the Lord. Daniel was faced with that. We saw in our very first lesson that he had steps to compromise that were laid out for him just very easily to get him on the road to doing that which would have been a violation of God's laws. There were battles coming for Daniel in this foreign land. But the whole key for Daniel, and here's what you got to get. The battles that he faced, he fought the battle long before the war ever started. The very first battle right there, here's what you're going to eat. You're one of the wise men. You're one of the people we've identified from your country that has a little oomph to them. You'll be smart enough and your physique is good enough and you're going to be one of our guys and we're going to retrain you and we're going to get you ready for this. And you're one of the ones why you're in this program. And there was a battle. But can I just tell you something? When they first came to him and said, here's what you got to do. And Daniel realized that was against the laws of God. Daniel already fought the battle long before it ever happened. You know what he did? He had already purposed in his heart. In essence, he was saying, listen, when the battle comes and I'm faced with something, I don't have to make a decision. The more that we just leave to spur of the moment, the more we're going to do things. The more we have opportunity to do that, which is wrong. If I work on a project, even here at the church, if I have a project I like to do, I don't want to have to, you know what I like to do? I like to do all the work up front. Let's sit down. Let's lay out everything that needs to be done. So now it's just a matter of getting it done. So nothing's on the fly. Now sometimes you got to make changes, but nothing's on the fly. It's ready. It's already set. Here's what we're doing. Here's where we're going. Here's what's going on. And Daniel, in a spiritual sense, said, it's coming, but I've already decided right now that when it comes at me and it hits me in the face, I've already made the decision. No, I'm not doing it. See, so many of us, we don't live like that. Every little compromise that comes our way, we have to stop and decide whether or not we will make that compromise. Can I just tell you something? You're already one step towards losing that battle. If you've already decided, you know what, here's the guidelines for my life. Now, where do I get the guidelines from? We get the guidelines from the book. That's why we got to explore the book. But I already know, here's some things God doesn't want me to be involved with. God doesn't want me to do. One time I was doing security. I was in Bible college, and I got a job, and I was doing security. They needed me at another place on a Saturday evening. I typically didn't work Saturday evening because we're so busy, but I needed the hours, so I went and did the Saturday evening. And I was in this little security booth is where I was supposed to stay there. And then every hour I would go do a walk around. And then I had to stay in the security booth at this factory. And so I went there and the guy came. The guy was there and I was replacing him. And it was my first time there, and I didn't typically work there. So, you know, he's like, hey, you're in here tonight. Here's what we're doing, blah, blah, blah. And then he mentioned to me, he goes, hey, if you get bored, there's some magazines you're going to want to look at in that drawer right there. You know what he was talking about, girl magazines. Can I just tell you something? I didn't open up that drawer. You know why? Because I had already fought that battle. I'm glad I didn't have to work there on a regular basis, because I wouldn't want to have been stuck in that room all the time. I would have said no. But it's like, I was glad he pointed it out, because I'm like, thanks, now I know not to open that drawer. Not open it. Now, if that's something where it's like, hey, I wonder if that's wrong. You lost. That battle was fought down the road. By the way, you're going to face things. Now, if you purposely put yourself in a situation where you're going to face something, you've already lost half that battle. But if the course of life, there's a situation that comes up, you're not doing wrong, you haven't put yourself in temptation, you're just doing the right thing and something comes your way, if you've already fought the battle, when something, you just, no, not doing it. Oh, by the way, I already decided that. See, some of you need to have some purpose in your life. We're too wishy-washy. Oh, you know, I'm just going to just serve Jesus and I'm going to flow down the road and we'll just see how it goes. It's not going to go well. As soon as they said, Dan, you got to do this, it's like, not doing it. No debate. You know, people try, not doing it. By the way, if you make that decision and someone's trying to push you, quit talking to them. Don't sit there and debate with them. Already made the decision. I don't want to hear it. If you're going to keep talking, I'm out. I'll walk away. Have some purpose. We just don't have purpose. I like Joseph. Joseph saw sin for what it really was. Not, I like you too, Joseph, but I like Joseph in the Bible. You see, the reason that they have purpose in their heart, we have purpose in our heart, is because we understand things from God's perspective. Look at what Joseph, let me read the verses to you. In Genesis chapter 39, we understand that Potiphar's wife she cast her eyes on Joseph and, hey, I'm going to get this guy. And for whatever reason, she was an immoral type of individual and she's after him. And in verse 8 of chapter 39 says, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house and hath committed all that he hath to my hand. He goes, listen, he gives me free rein over everything I want. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. And he could have said, so I'm not doing it. But I like that last little phrase. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He goes, you know what? I don't care what you say. I don't care what this say. I am not sinning against God. That's a motivation. God said it. Let's do it. God said don't do it. Let's not do it. Let's have a little purpose in our life. The decision comes. And by the way, the whole reason we have the whole book of Daniel is because right there as an older teenager, he made that first correct decision because he purposed in his heart. And can I just tell you something? That wasn't the only battle he fought. If you've been here over the last few weeks, you know he fought all kinds of battles. And he got every single one. You know why? Purpose. None of these other things were an issue. Why? I already decided. You're not getting me to change. So we see the power of purpose. And I hope you have purpose in your life. As you see the principles of God's word and you see what God wants, you ought to say, that's what I'm doing. I've already purposed in my heart. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm not doing. Nothing is going to push me off of that. Let's stand. Number two, the power of compassion. The power of compassion. Daniel chapter 1, look at verse 9. This is a continuation of that. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. This is right after he has to do this nonsense, after he already purposed in his heart. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, which hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should we see your face worse liking than the children which are of your sort? By the way, the other Jews weren't listening to God. Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Listen, he comes to Daniel and he says, listen, you guys got to do this because it's not your neck on the line, it's my neck on the line. If you guys don't look good and you're not going well, you're not the one the king's going to kill. I'm the one that's going to get it. Verse 11, then said King Demelzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. You see, he didn't just say, I've purpose in my heart, drop dead, cowboy. He said, I get what you're trying to do. And Daniel had a compassion level for this unsaved guy. And he saw what he was trying to get, where he was trying to get them. Now they had the wrong pathway to get them there. But Daniel said, I think we can get there without violating the principles over here. Give us a shot. Now we already know that if it would have come down to the shot didn't work, Daniel and them would have said, I ain't doing it. But they had a concern for this man, this unsaved man who was his leader. Although he dealt with this his whole life, ungodly leaders, Daniel always did it with compassion. Oh, he stood. He did the right kind of things. He would not violate his faith. But you know what? He did it with a spirit of compassion. He genuinely cared about those who dealt with him. Let me say this. Well, his desire to compromise didn't interfere with his desire to be compassionate. His desire to not compromise didn't interfere with his desire to be compassionate. I don't think the two are contrary to one another. You can say no in a compassionate way. I need you to do this. You know, I'm sorry, no. Oh, but I really need you to do it. You know, I can't. Okay, it's not that hard. We need to have compassion towards people. Now, let me say this on the flip side. We must be willing to offend people if it is for our position that they get offended. I'm not going to change what we believe because someone does not like that. You understand that? We cannot change what we believe. That didn't go over very well. Thank you, Brother Bichard. I appreciate you being with me. We're not going to change what our church does and what we believe about this Bible because some people don't like it. Never. Okay? Never. Ain't doing it. Oh, but that's going to offend some people. We're not doing it to offend people, but if God says it's right and you get offended, tough luck. And I say that as kindly as I can. Deal with it. Because I'd rather have you upset at me than God upset at me. Okay? I'm not willing to do that. But on the other hand, I am not willing to offend people because of my disposition just because I have the right position. Do you understand that? We don't need to be hateful and vindictive. Remember Ephesians, our warfare is not with people. We wrestle not against flesh or blood. It's principalities and powers that are behind it all. It's a system we're behind it all. Do you understand that sometimes Christians are guilty of offending people, not because of what they're doing, but because of their attitude? And that person might go to hell because of your bad attitude. Now, I get it. They're going to hell because but they may not be reached. That door may close. We had someone in the church here a long time ago, and they were a little different. They had some issues. If you were being politically correct, maybe the elevator was missing a couple floors. And one time we were all out soul winning on the, remember we used to take the bus out. I was with Oscar. He's downstairs in Patch the Pirate. And we're door knocking. It's Oscar's turn. Oscar knocks on the door. Hey, I'd like to invite you to Pacific Baptist Church. And the guy was hot. He was smoked. I'm not going to your church. And he had some other words in the sentence I can't repeat. And so he was really steamed, so I thought I better, you know, staff member, I'll hop in for Brother Oscar. I don't want him to take the bullet. And it's like, I'm sorry, sir, what's going on? Someone from your, he goes, I just got home, and as I was walking from your home, somebody from your church, and he told us what the guy said, and it was bad. He told him what he could do with the track, basically. And the guy did not hold words. He told us exactly what he said, Brother Bichardo. How do you answer that? I'm thinking, we didn't cover that in a one-by-one soul-winning plan. And I'm like, oh, my soul. Now, first thing I'm thinking is, who said that to him? Is it Brother Esposito? No, oh, it wasn't Brother Esposito. And you know what? Hey, this guy was smoked, and he was a little over the top. And as compassionate as I could, I What are you going to do? I started talking real. You know, the stuff we learned in Proverbs on Thursday. Okay, a soft answer, turn to the way we're at. I'm sorry. And I started talking really kindly to the guy. And by the time we left, he goes, well, you know, I'm sure I said some things to him I shouldn't have said. I'm like, yeah, but he should not have told you that. Come to find out, this guy who was a little bit challenged had gotten into, this guy was walking, went to give him a track, and had got into an argument with him. And his partner, I said, how did you let this guy get loose? I mean, he goes, well, I was talking to someone at the door. He goes, and I saw him down the street talking to somebody, and I know they were arguing at each other. He goes, because I heard the guy from our church say, you know, the guy he was talking to said, well, Jesus still loves me. And the guy from our church said, shut up. Now, again, you have to understand, that's not our regular soul winning course. This guy had some emotional issues. Okay. But listen, he was all up in our face, but I did the best I could to be compassionate and say, I am so sorry. I don't know what, I'll find out. And the guy's like, well, I'm an idiot too. I'm like, well, you probably are. I didn't say that. But listen, let's be compassionate towards people. Do you understand we can disagree with people, especially if they're unsaved? We ought to think, we ought to do what we can to keep our testimony. We ought to care about. Listen, you have bosses at work, I know some of you, and they don't like you. And I get it. I've worked in places where they were just unsaved and they didn't like us. And I was like you. And I know there was times I did not respond correctly. But I always tried to think, I don't want to do anything so that if someone comes to witness to him again later, he can't use me as an excuse why he didn't listen. We can be compassionate people. We can still be compassionate. Daniel, by the way, maybe that's part of the reason why every leader that came into play, all of them loved Daniel. They all liked him. The only one that really didn't understand him was Belshazzar. He didn't get it. Now, he brought him in towards the end, and he was actually really a co-ruler. But you know what? Daniel had compassion towards all he did. He represented God in every way, in what he stood for, but also in how he stood for it. When did our, and I get, and sometimes, I know, I'm trying to be balanced here, because there is a balance. Sometimes we ought to have some righteous indignation. We ought to get mad in the right way. We ought to, but in the right way. But I think some of our brethren think it's okay to allow our position. We excuse a bad disposition because of our right position. Now, we're not going to get up here and say, you know, Jesus loves you, and that's probably not a good idea. We're not going to do that. Okay? The Bible says, stomp your foot, raise your voice, and tell the truth. Okay? And that ain't changing. But I'm saying, we can still care about people. We ought to make sure that we do that. Everything's a balance. I want you to see, let me see a few verses here. I'm going to read some verses out of Jude. Jude chapter, well, there's only one chapter. Let me read verse 3 of Jude. Jude's a perfect example of balance. Jude verse 3 says this, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It's almost like Jude was saying is, I got my pen out, and I was going to write to you about the common salvation we all have and how wonderful it is and joy in Jesus and all the eternal life. He goes, but I couldn't. I had to stop, and I had to write to you to tell you, contend for the faith. You know what contend means? Fight. Oh, sometimes the way you guys talk about issues, you say it in a combative mode. Thank you for catching that. That is our goal. When someone is spreading false doctrine, when Christianity is being ruined by heretical nonsense, of course we're going to get up and stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and fight for the truth. You have to. Listen, if we don't have truth, why are we here? Let's stay home and take it easy. But Christianity is being ruined in this country. Ruined. It's hard to find a good church. They all want to look and see what everybody else is doing and what nonsense can we bring into the church to get a crowd. I'll tell you how. Go knock on some doors and invite people to church. We're not changing what we do to get a crowd. We're not going to change what we believe about that book to get a crowd. Why? We don't have that option. If we're biblical, contend for the faith. You got Joel Osteen or whoever, knuckleheads that get up and they share a false gospel. Somebody has to say something. Two or three of the largest churches in America are in Houston, and they elected an openly gay mayor. I'm talking about Christians. Pro-family. Why? They don't believe it. They don't believe half the doctrines of this book. It's about getting people in. Well, you know, we don't want to offend people, so if we are dogmatic about something the Bible says, they may not come. Then don't let them come. But I think if we're compassionate, they will. Because in their hearts, people want the truth. And you know what we're selling them? Spiritual cotton candy. You know how you make cotton candy? You get 50% sugar and 50% air. That's all it is. You got this big old thing of cotton candy, and as soon as you start touching it, it shrivels up. There's nothing to it. It's just all fluff. It's like, look at that big balloon. It's 99% nothing. It's air, something you can't see. That's what Christianity is getting. And Jude says, listen, I want to talk about salvation, and I can't. Because false doctrine and false beliefs are all over the land, and someone's got to contend for the faith. Someone's got to have the guts to get up and say, sorry, that's what the Bible says. Amen. That's our job. Now, we could get off on that. And I'm good with it. And you understand, if you've come to our church, that's where we're at. But what's the flip side? Verse number 20 of Jude. Same book. Same guy. Here's what he says in verse 20. But ye beloved. By the way, he talks about those that give false doctrine, those all this, and he condemns them for what they're doing. Verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Man. It's always a catch. But I want to fight. By the way, that appeals to guys. It's like, bring it on. Keep yourself in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's why most guys, when we first read the fruit of the Spirit, we said, are you serious? What? Love? Joy? Peace? Long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, patience. How many have I named? Goodness? I know there's 9. Have I missed any? That's pretty good off the cuff. Thank you, thank you. I'll be here all week, all right? You read that list and it's like, huh, that's not me. Give me the fight any day of the week. But we're supposed to have it all. We're supposed to balance that out. That keeps us from being a spiritual jerk. Right? I'm not being critical here. I'm not complaining. I'm explaining. But I've heard guys, not recently, but in the past behind the pulpit, just say things that just aren't Christian. Treat people in such a way that's just not Christian. Standing for the faith. Okay. But keep yourself in the love of God. Remember, the battle's to win the fight for truth. But why do we want to win the fight for truth? Someone want to tell me? So we can share the truth with those that don't have it. Are you with me? Brother, I'm contending for the faith and we're winning. I know, and everybody's running from us. Can't we give them the truth and keep ourselves in the love of God? I think we can. And of some, it gets worse. And of some have compassion making a difference. Man, I want to jump on a soapbox. By the way, we're going to fight for the faith and we're in. But let's make sure if someone gets a black eye, it's not us, it's Satan. And the powers that are tripping people up. If some have compassion, making a difference. You know what makes a difference? When we're Daniels. By the way, they stood. And we're going to get to 2 points, and we'll get to the other ones later. If you cannot tell me Daniel was a liberal. He wasn't. You cannot tell me Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were liberals. You can't tell me they were cowards. You can't do it. Their life was on the line. But you can also can't tell me that they weren't compassionate towards the people that they served. Are you getting it? We got to win the world across. Yeah, we got to stand. But we better have compassion. Yeah, there's supposed to be 10 principles. We'll get the next 8 next week. But I'll tell you, so, well, what the two you said tonight, they don't seem to go together. Yes, they do. If the book of Jude, which is all about standing for the faith, condemning false teaching, and by the way, he named names. He named names. By the way, Paul named names. Could you imagine if your name was in Scripture? You know, this guy's a shipwreck. Of whom is Ray Pichardo? Man, that's not how I want my name in the Bible. Pineda hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you understand that's in the Bible forever? Praise God, I was born after the Bible was written. Okay, can I just tell you something, though? And by the way, if someone was causing trouble, they dealt with it. If someone didn't want to hear the truth and they were hurting somebody else, that needed to be dealt with. But if we're not careful, what we do is we treat everybody like that. Sometimes people may disagree with us because they just don't understand. And maybe if we love them and we had compassion and we had purpose, that would make the difference and we can show them what the truth is. See, I believed a lot of dumb things when I was a new Christian. But I'm glad there were people in that church that took me and didn't say, I'd say things and they didn't say like, what is wrong with you? They would show me things. Share with me what we needed to do and what I needed to do. Let's have purpose. Let's stand for the faith. I'm all for standing for the faith, but let's do it in the love of God and with compassion. Because we're called to win the world, and everything else we do is standing for the Lord so that we have the truth that we can take to win people to the Lord and help them in their life. Let's stand this evening.